So if you have any sort of bodily function secrets you don't want revealed, don't say them now. Okay.
Talking is a bodily function.
Wait, does burping count?
I guess. Okay, it's been a minute since my recording started. Let's actually try doing what we came here to do. Let's talk about E3.
Wow.
Yay, E3!
Holler.
Yeah. Okay, I did not spend a lot of time coming up with an intro to this podcast, but to suffice it, this is the first podcast for the One Pixel Jump blog that will ever be put on the internet. Those other five that I've done don't count because they don't exist.
Remix.
Will a transcript of this recording be made available through a special mail-in offer?
I will sit down and specially type it up in Word documents just in case anybody needs it.
That's good, because I hate listening to myself talk.
I understand. I don't think that any of the four of us will end up listening to this, other than me, because I'm going to have to encode it and put it up on the internet for all to enjoy or despair at.
I might listen to it.
That's your sacrifice to make.
Pretty much.
The cross. It's so heavy.
Yes. Well, let's see. Well, this is a heavy cost for using Skype, which is free. This microphone, which I borrowed from somebody. Audacity, which
somebody.
Is free.
Somebody.
Yeah, somebody. Some unnamed person who will remain unnamed.
By you, anyway.
Well, yes. You're not implying anything by your speech. Okay, now it's been 2.5 minutes. Let's actually talk about this. I think the best thing that like I said before, the best thing for us to do would be to just go through every company and talk about generally what they said at their press conferences. Mm-hmm. Anybody care to lead off?
Ubisoft, BattleTag.
When you showed me the video for BattleTag, I hadn't seen it yet, I just heard you say BattleTag, I was convinced you had said Battletoads.
I was like, come on, Battletoads, everyone loves Battletoads, right?
I think
yeah, but
problem.
It takes you...
I might be playing Battletoads.
It takes you forever how to learn how to play two-player in that game. That's the one aggravation I don't want to deal with. Just simple one-player, two-player indication will be sufficient.
Yeah, well, Battletoads is actually impossible on two-player. There is a level where something does not work if you are playing two-player. So, hopefully BattleTag will be better than that, because I'm going to be honest, I know very little about the games industry in general, but I'd like to think Ubisoft wouldn't be able to screw up laser tag.
Well, you'd like to think that.
It looks competent enough. You put on a vest, you shoot people with a fake gun, you hold up a little box to the bottom of your gun whenever you want to reload your non-existent ammo.
It's Ubisoft, no ammo is existent.
Yeah. Like I said earlier when I wrote about that, I have no idea how to feel about that game. It's laser tag that you hook up to your Xbox.
And then it limits how far you can go, right?
You know, that's a very good question. I'm not sure what the range on it is. They did the demonstration on it, and it was just them running around in the conference hall. So
I think one of the audience members was actually wearing a vest, and they were just aiming at him. He was just trying to hide.
Yeah. Well, that would have been ideal. If you're going to shoot somebody while playing laser tag, pretend to be an innocent.
I'm sorry, I was off in my own little world, imagining the Battletoads playing tag, and their hands grow to, like, absurd dimensions when they tag people.
And then a snake comes out of nowhere and clobbers them all.
Well, that only happens in two players B, where you can hit each other. And that would be the worst. You start playing tag and somebody headbutts you with giant ram horns through a tree. I don't
know if
that
would even work if they turned into a weight and smashed you into a wall.
That only happens if they're rappelling from a rope. But that would definitely be horrible.
Wait, how do you guys play laser tag then?
Actually, I don't know if this has anything to do with laser tag, but Battletoads is probably more interesting.
You know what? I would seriously play a laser tag game if it was laser TV tag. Like, if somebody screamed out, "Family Ties!" and then you shot them, like, 50 times.
Well, that would just... That's just real life for anybody who owns a gun. I mean, at least I attempt it. God forbid they say Full House. Then you have to shoot them and kick them in the nuts.
And play dramatic music.
Play that really sappy music,
Yes.
Oh, God. So long as we all don't have to learn a valuable lesson, that would suck.
But the Olsen twins, they have so much to offer us as far as valuable lessons go, such as eat. Wow, that joke was a little dated.
I appreciate the effort.
The only
valuable lesson that the Olsen twins taught us was that if you are a freak of nature or twins, Hollywood has a career for you.
Yeah, well, that's...
Preferably both.
Yeah, so right. You do have to be both. There's something just more adorable when there are two of you. So, as far as Battle Tag goes, it's laser tag that you can hook up to your Xbox, and you have to go through the trouble of reloading. It'll certainly set up a whole lot more opportunities for people to practice their solid snaking in real life.
Do you remember when we were playing laser tag up in Gallenberg and you did that to me?
Yeah, I did. I was hiding behind a wall on the opposite side of you. I knocked on it. You turned around and shot me. I was like, that's not what you're supposed to do. You're supposed to go, what was that noise, and then turn around and ignore it.
And you have to wear a hat that has an exclamation point on it.
Yes.
Or a question mark.
Now, we were definitely talking about Ubisoft, but since we brought up Metal Gear Solid, can we talk about Metal Gear Solid Rising?
Oh, yes, please.
Oh, now, I think that if there is anything to be said about this, I have summed it up more than a few times. Ham cubes.
Best damage physics ever.
Because that is what what Raiden turns that guy into. He turns into ham cubes. They're going to put that guy on a salad, because that is all he is good for.
With watermelons, I think together, the watermelons really bring out the flavor of the chopped up human body meat.
Actually, the way Raiden trained for doing this is by working as a chef, but he only used knives.
Yes.
He played a lot of Cooking Mama as a child. That's something you never hear in his backstory.
Well, there was one time he played Burger Time.
Well, that is the unknown child soldier training they didn't tell you about in Metal Gear Solid 2. You ate gunpowder for breakfast, you went out and shot a guy, you come home and you play Cooking Mama or Burger Time. And if you don't have a score over 50,000, you don't get to sleep with clothes on. That's right. That's probably...
So, yeah, there's a lot of concern, I think, people brought up about the game being too hack-and-slash, but I think if you played it on the floor, I heard that there's actually a lot of stealth elements in it.
That surprises me, because I did not see them talk about it in a conference, or Hideo Kojima come out and say anything about it. I just saw the trailer.
Well, he was too busy working on Castlevania.
Yes, and we will get to that. I heard about the Hideo Kojima Castlevania a while back, and we'll get to that in a second, but I'm surprised that the gameplay trailer for Rising basically looked like, here's a bunch of soldiers, you have a sword.
I feel like there was a larger problem in the conference altogether with people perhaps choosing the wrong moments of their games to demo. You know, instead of picking a good variety of the gameplay you can expect in a game like this, which is kind of, you know, a mix of genres.
Yeah, I think I think you could say that for a whole lot of stuff. I'm going over in my head what was demoed and what wasn't. I think the only trailer I remember seeing that did a pretty good job of showing off everything was Metroid Other M, which I will gush about in a minute, or attempt to.
Well, that would make two of us gushing about it.
Well, it was really the thing. I did say it, but when E3 started, I'm like, I'm waiting on that Metroid Other M trailer. And then the Other M trailer came out, and I'm like, this is the exact same trailer you showed us last time. I've learned nothing. Well, okay, we learned that they're going to bring back scanning.
Okay, and that was from the Prime trilogy.
Yeah.
I haven't really played a lot of Metroid games.
It's in Metroid Prime, when they decided to make a first-person shooter, apparently Retro Studios was thought to themselves, you know, people want to learn more about the Metroid world. Let's put in a bunch of extraneous scanning data that doesn't really do anything, but you can read it if you want.
I mean, what's the point of that in a game where, you know, the major tone is one of isolation? You know, you hear all these things about the universe and all of these cultures. You never actually experience them in the gameplay. I mean, it's handy to know, but it's kind of like Elder Scrolls where, you know, who gives a crap?
Yeah, it really is. Especially for the Metroid thing, it's like, okay, I know this. Other than enemy scans where they would specifically tell you shoot it in the eyeball jutting out of its chest, that was pretty much everything else you could learn was kind of irrelevant. It was just really sort of for world building.
And also to give you something else to do for 100% completion, right?
Actually, that was the nice thing. Retro Studios was like, people want to see Samus in a bikini. So, let's actually make it easy for them. Oh wait, we made it too easy. We're not going to put Samus in a bikini this time.
What about for the people that want to see Samus in a burka? Because, you know, I think
you have to put...
That armor is a bit too revealing.
I think you have to put in Justin Bailey backwards. That was something that came up during... Here's my shout-out to a bunch of people who will never listen to this. This came out during a Let's Play of Metroid Prime. How it would be awesome as if... As though... Since it's because of it's a first-person shooter, if they had put in the Justin Bailey code.
What would they use it for?
It's just, you know, somebody puts in that code, and then it's just 10 solid hours of you turning into the morph.
No, no, after every scan, it reads, written by Justin Bailey.
No, it puts Samus in the bikini. That's what
you know what's weird, though? When you do unlock Samus in the bikini, she looks totally different than her typical depiction these days. She wasn't blonde. She had, like, freaking green hair and pink or purple skin. She was like an alien chick.
Yeah,
I mean...
Way back when the first Metroid came out, she had green hair and purple and violet skin and a leotard.
Except for the violet skin, she kind of makes me think of Terra from Final Fantasy.
Yes.
Yeah, a little bit.
Ultimate
Captain Kirk would be all over that.
Yeah, that was his job. I'm going to fly around, I'm going to touch down on alien worlds, I'm going to get somebody in a red shirt killed, and I'm going to have sex with something that is approximately human, but just not human enough.
So go to Japan and you're pretty fake.
So let me ask you, how did the mesh of first-person action with third-person action. Did it look pretty intuitive?
As far as for other M goes, Team Ninja seems to want to return a little bit more to Metroid's roots and put it in a third-person scrolling section. It looked really interesting, because at first I thought about it, and it's really just you're playing a normal 2D Metroid game, but the camera swivels around, so you see Samus from the front and back at times. And I realized how much it looked a lot like Killer 7, of all things. Because apparently for combat, you run around, but when you want to shoot stuff, you switch to a first-person mode where you can aim more accurately.
That's pretty handy.
I actually think that is a very interesting take on it, and not the sort of thing that I would expect out of Team Ninja. That being said, the only meter I have for Team Ninja is Ninja Gaiden, so I don't know if there's some other genres they've worked on and been really innovative. The Dead or Alive adventure games. Use oil on woman is the solution to every puzzle.
Well, no, there's the occasional use oil on rock that looks like woman.
The only time you can ever screw it up is if you try to use that solution, but the only person in the room is Ryu.
Or somebody with a match.
Yeah, pretty much.
Somebody lights a match, all of Ryu's love interests go up in a single blaze of glory.
No!
No,
now I'll never open that flower shop in America.
Oh, wait, I will just turn into an eagle and start macking it with the lady eagles. I think that is far more simple a solution.
And a lot less, it's probably a lot more manly to do that than to open an antique shop.
Yeah, just leave, have the woman raise the eggs, and then leave the nest, and they can just fend for themselves. No patrimony suits there, or whatever.
Yeah, I know. I don't know.
Fraternity suits.
I don't really know what a female eagle is going to sue you over. And in Eagle Court today, Ryu Hayabusa the Hawk was to give half of his worm supply away in alimony payments and pay at least 2 worms per month for child services.
I was going to say that's what she said after the worm comment, but you went on just a touch too long, so I'm going to have to throw that one away.
I'm sorry. If you ever feel you have something funny to inject into my ramblings, just say them really loud, and I'll probably pick up on it. Okay.
Hold it!
Oh.
Injection!
Yes. I actually was playing Apollo Justice right before we started doing this, so...
Apollo Justice. I like to believe that he is the son of Buford T. Justice from Smokey and the Bandit. And he chose to rebel against his father's love for law and order, you know, by becoming a defense attorney.
Of course. That is the most logical conclusion that I can think of. And if it's not canon... Shu Takami, you need to call me, and we need to talk. Actually, Shu Takami should never call me, because if he ever did talk to me, it would basically just be me, make Ace Attorney 5, and then I would punch him and run away.
So does anybody want to talk about Assassin's Creed Eyes Wide Shut Edition?
I saw, as I said before when I wrote about Assassin's Creed, I have one question for you, Ubisoft. Do I get to beat up the Pope again?
Not only do you get to beat up the Pope, you get to beat up everyone that will become the Pope, because now you know who will become the Pope.
Well, now that you've beaten up the Pope, Ezio just has to work his way through the rest of the clergy. Start at the top of the ladder and climb your way down.
Eventually he's punching Jesus Christ in the face.
You just see Ezio in, a church, working. That was about to be a very bad sentence, but slowly stabbing and punching a bunch of altar boys as he works his way up to the crucifix to tear it down.
And you go up to the next floor of the church, and then you fight different enemies.
Yeah, that would be an interesting take on it, but I think the more pressing matter of Assassin's Creed Brotherhood is the multiplayer, which I did not see coming for that series.
Nor did I see coming the awesome orgy masks that a lot of Ezio's fellow assassins are wearing.
Yeah, that was a little different, especially Bird Mask Guy.
I love that guy. He doesn't have a face.
Yeah, I know. He is the mask. Oh, speaking of that, not half an hour after I saw the trailer for Assassin's Creed Brotherhood, there was a commercial at the beginning of a game trailers video that was one of those GameStop commercials where they're like, if you buy this game now, we'll give you this free item that might be useful. And it was apparently if you pre-order Assassin's Creed Brotherhood from GameStop, they put in this extra jester character.
Harley Quinn.
Yeah, it looks like Harley Quinn if Harley Quinn was a dude and gay.
That might already be true. It might be an Elfo's tale, but it's still true.
Well, I mean, when you mention her in the same sentence as Poison Ivy. And I think we all do want to do that.
Poison Ivy?
Yeah, that's always been the... ever since Harley Quinn was introduced into actual Batman canon, for some reason they're like, you know what would be totally hot? If she hooked up with Poison Ivy, and everyone at DC was like, give that man a promotion. He's figured out the secret.
Awkward! Sorry.
What was that we used to say way back in, like, the early days of high school? Every time there's an awkward silence, a gay baby is born. That was a weird joke to bring up, but it came to mind anyway.
It resulted in another gay baby, I mean awkward silence.
Okay, so let's move on to another game. How about The Legend of Zelda, the Wiimote doesn't work?
You know, I thought, he would have had better success if he just focused more on the story so that people wouldn't notice that the thing wasn't working, because people want to love this game. It's Zelda. It's freaking Link. Just say stuff about Link, like, Well, in this game, you'll get to play Link, and there's a horse in it, and by golly, does he love his horse, and Zelda's in it, and they hold hands and sing and stuff, and people will just be so enraptured by the trademark Nintendo storytelling that they won't care about the controls.
Actually, one of my favorite things that I saw was the fact that you get to go Simon Belmont on enemies.
Yeah, the whip item that apparently was introduced.
Yeah, and Shigeru Miyamoto demonstrated it on bats. Link is officially Simon Belmont.
I would be okay with that, actually. The Legend of Zelda Symphony of the Night. That would be fantastic.
Link, no!
Well, Link, first of all, Link is not a werewolf. He's on the other team. I don't even read the Twilight book, so people are going to have to inform me of what team that is. But he is on the werewolf team.
Well, obviously. Obviously, in the eventual Zelda Twilight crossover, you will see Link bat the ball away and then run to first base as fast as he can while in wolf form. I feel bad enough that I know that there was a baseball game in Twilight.
What?
Apparently one of the greatest showdowns in Twilight is a baseball game.
Oh my god, oh my god. Please tell me that there is an umpire vampire joke. I think my life will be complete if somebody makes that connection.
I do not know that that happened, but I will, and I have not read Twilight 2 closely.
Well, then I believe a fan fiction has been born tonight.
To be fair, the other team right says now. Team Werewolf is Team Vampire. There had to be an umpire vampire somewhere.
Oh, it had to have happened. The vampires were the one running the show. They had to have provided the umpire.
That's how they get you.
Yeah. But as other than that, the one thing I did notice about, I guess it's the Skyward Sword, was that the graphics looked a lot more colorful this time around.
Very cartoony.
No more Reality is Brown?
It's not, yeah. I mean, it's not on the level of Wind Waker, but it's definitely as colorful as Wind Waker was.
It's not exactly cel-shaded, but you're right, there is like a, I don't want to say a, like a watercolor type aspect to it, but I mean the colors do look more animated.
Yeah, they look a lot less. If I remember correctly, I had heard rumors that when Wind Waker came out and everybody complained about the cartoonish look of it, Nintendo put into motion that they were going to make Twilight Princess as brown as possible, and then people complained about it. I don't know.
Oh wait, can we? We probably can't profane on this podcast, can we?
You can profane. I just...
Okay. Here's your shit sandwich, people. Now eat it.
Well, yeah. That is true. I don't know. Other than that, it looked like your pretty standard Zelda fare. I mean, the controls look like they're a bit dodgy, but Miyamoto said, we'll fix it in production, which might be true.
Well, by all accounts, it was operating a lot more smoothly on the floor itself. I don't know, maybe he was right about all of the wireless devices screwing up the gameplay. But, I mean, come on. Most people in America have some kind of wireless device just sitting around. It's not the kind of thing you want
to do. Yeah, when I heard about that, you know what? We never discuss what we should call each other in this podcast. I don't think it really matters if we call each other by something specific. But Jacob, you were when you told me about him saying cell phone interference was part of it, you were playing Resident Evil 4 with the Wii, and I was sending a text message.
And it messed up.
It did.
I couldn't aim.
What? I don't remember that part.
Yeah, so yeah. It like the reticule would just, like, move around the screen on its own. And I wasn't even pointing at the TV or the sensor bar.
Well, maybe there's something to...
I'm sorry.
Maybe there's something to be said for Shigeru Miyamoto's claims. I do
so
not...
So then, could I possibly just use my cell phone? Be the best cell phone game ever.
Zelda Skyward Sword as a cell phone game?
You can play the game, piss off the person playing Skyward Sword, which I think is probably just as entertaining.
Just as, if not more so. Beyond the Wiimote entries into it, where you have to kill enemies by hitting them in specific ways, it looks like your standard Zelda game, which I can get behind. Zelda
right. He tried so hard to, you know, tout the one adjustment to the controls being that you can hold up the shield with the, you know, the other half of the nunchuck, the part with the analog.
Yeah.
And, like, I mean, it's such a minor change, but he was so into it. You know, I felt kind of bad in that he didn't realize it wasn't as huge of a deal as he thought it was.
That's not really that impressive. Actually, that does bring up a good point. Despite the fact that you can move the shield wherever you'd like, is there going to be much of the game where you don't want to have the shield in front of you?
I don't know.
Yeah.
I mean, I guess it depends if you slow down when you're walking with the shield.
I guess.
Like, I could see dropping the shield would enable you to run faster or something like that.
That makes sense to me, but being able to hold the shield in specific positions doesn't really seem like it would be that big of a deal unless there's going to be a side quest where Link has to protect his hat from the rain.
Well, in the demo he showed us... I think there was one point where Link blinded a door with the reflections from his sword or something, or...
Yeah,
The eye was following his sword, and he moved it around to the point where the eye got dizzy.
And just sort of falls out. Yeah, I remember that. It was,
I could see you doing something similar with the shield. Like, I know there have been Zelda puzzles in the past where you need to reflect light off of it.
Yeah.
I could see, like, maybe guiding some beam of light or something like that. This is pure conjecture, people! It's pure conjecture.
Well, like I said, since none of us were at E3, we can only really stay overwhelmingly neutral with what we actually saw. Like I said, beyond the Wiimote controls, it looks like Zelda, so I am accepting of that. Zelda is not a game that has to change too much. In fact, if Zelda changed too drastically, I think it would get on my nerves more than if it was to stagnate.
Right. So, I mean... Looking at things from that perspective, you know, you're in it because of Zelda. Was anybody else disappointed that we didn't really hear a lot about the actual story? I know, like, a lot of the, you know, the promotional imagery for the game, it sparked a lot of conversations because it just shows Link and this sword-shaped maiden at his back.
Mm-hmm.
And not a lot was discussed about that. And, you know, I feel like it was kind of a missed opportunity to get people really excited for this game again, you know, by revealing who that lady is, what role she plays with the sword.
Yeah, I think that's a good point. People know what to expect from a Zelda game, and reinventing the formula will probably please some people, but it'll probably get on the nerves of a lot of fans. So focusing more on, like, canon, because... It's probably one of the lesser arguments on the internet, but the Zelda timeline does attract a lot of conjecture and assuming and fan fiction, I assume.
Actually, now that I think about it, maybe the power you can get from that girl is that she will put herself in the sword, and then you get to shoot her instead of laser beams.
And if she gave out a terrified scream every time you did it, too.
That would be slightly more effective than sword beams.
At least you have an excuse for her to insist that you carry her around. And I'm also starting to wonder if you can temper her.
You take her to some dwarfs and they just hit her with a hammer.
Please, Link.
You hear the scream.
Don't burn me again. I've had enough with the burning. Please, no. Well, I'm sorry, but I need the quarter improvement in damage points, so, here. Go into the molten metal.
Well, at least in order to get the last power up of the sword, you only have to give her to this really obese woman.
For 5 minutes.
I just need that little girl for 5 minutes. She just closes the door behind her. You hear this. You hear a whimper and then a snap, and then they both walk back out and she's weeping. Oh, God, thinking about that reminds me of The Hills Have Eyes 2, which is not something I want to ever think about again. So let's move on to the topic that you wrote about, Mary Beth, the 3DS and the new Kid Icarus game.
Yeah, let's see. So the big thing about the 3DS, which is really so tough to tell from the trailer and everything, or whatever, the press conference, it's tough to really see how they do the 3D, but apparently there's some sort of technology that makes the eyes perceive three dimensions, even though it's there aren't any goggles or anything like that. So you're allotting different pixels to each eye. And I'm wondering also if this will make it a little bit tough to see through the internet. There's supposed to be these 3D pictures that you can take. I'm just wondering, you know, where do you put those pictures?
Facebook.
Of course.
I don't know.
You've been tagged in a photo.
Need to, like, get a special 3DS internet connection.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Actually, one of the things I saw when I was watching the last day of E3 on G4, they started talking about the 3DS, and they said that you can only see the 3D when you're, like, square with it. So looking at the 3DS from an angle, you can't see it.
Oh, that's not a flawed concept.
Not at all.
Another flawed concept I'm really curious about, why would you turn off 3D? There's an option on this thing to turn off the 3D.
I will tell you why, Mary Beth. Because some people are pirates, and they only have one eye.
Yeah, and by pirates, you also mean the people who can only see this game in 2D.
Right, so at that point, you know, it's just a wasted feature.
I think that
Nintendo totally... They would have totally ignored the one-eyed population if they just made a completely 3D handheld. And I think it was very wise of them to make it an option.
I could see that. I mean, I'm not too familiar with how things are in Japan, but if I've learned anything from anime, it's that everybody walks around in costumes, and it is... obviously, somebody was just walking by the offices at Nintendo in a pirate outfit, and they're like, my God, there is a lawsuit here. And if we don't address this now, the giant faucet in the basement that spews gold is going to slow down.
We will have to pay them many a galleon or Spanish doubloon.
Yes.
Apparently there are facial tracking features on this thing, too. So when you're playing your new Nintendogs plus Cats game, you know, the dog or cat can mimic your motions. So I'm guessing part of this 3D technology has to do with eye tracking.
You
could probably tell if you have one eye.
Huh.
Really?
Now, that's impressive. Pirate-friendly?
Is that confirmation? Is this a pirate-friendly handle?
I'm not sure if I want to go ahead and confirm it, but I think that we can definitely say that if you're going on a high seas adventure to find some buried treasure, you might have something to do while waiting for the inevitable death by scurvy to overtake you.
See, like, that accounts for the pirate population. It does not account for the secret glass eye population.
Oh, because it's reflective.
Oh, no. Oh, wow. I was so caught up in the fact that one of the games is called Nintendogs plus Cats. Mm-hmm. I'm like, wow, that's not even second billing. It's like, Nintendogs, there's some cats over there. If you want to play with them, you heathen.
Nintendo Cat Dogs would be like the greatest game ever.
Maybe they're too busy to file another copyright for another name. Nintendo Cats.
No. Cats and Dogs. I
think that they missed a great opportunity to make it into sort of like a Pokemon thing, where you have Nintendo cats and Nintendo dogs, and you can trade between them. You can trade, like, your chew toys. You trade your cat's little rubber fishy for a dog's little rubber bone, and then both of them get really mad at their owners because they're stupid for thinking that a cat would want a little rubber bone.
Well, at least you'd be trading toys in that case. It wouldn't be like if you were getting your pets to battle and then sending them off to the daycare center and then coming back with six more.
I could I could see that. You trade in, you have two owners trade their cat and the dog, so the dog gets introduced to this family of kittens and just starts mauling them.
Speaking of mauling, if I could go off on a tangent for just a moment and take a look at one of the games that Microsoft debuted as part of its Kinect system.
Oh, we'll be getting to Kinect. Trust me, I've been wanting.
Are we going to have to save it?
No, you can go ahead and talk about this, but I really want to save the entirety of Kinect towards the end, because that was really one of that was the big deal. Because Microsoft not only held a press conference for itself, which was about 75% Kinect, but then they held Kinect's press conference on its own.
Which is made up of clips from the 75% of Kinect from the Microsoft one.
Yeah.
I will comment on it later. Okay. I will see you in the future, listeners!
All two of them.
Okay. No. I think by moving to audio, we might be able to get a total of 4 listeners, which is...
Oh, actually, we have them right here.
Well, they outnumber us, then, at least.
Exactly. So, I think that's... the one thing I will say for Nintendo is that I watched the trailer for the new Kid Icarus game, and I have to apologize because the version of it that I got was really, really choppy, and that is not the Nintendo 3DS's fault, even though I said it was.
I really have to give it up to Nintendo in this conference, though, in that, you know, their biggest thing for this presentation was 3D, which you can't really see, you know, on a computer if you're watching from home. Even ignoring that, I was still pretty excited by most of what they had to reveal, and I could tell just by looking at it that the games are going to be awesome. Even without the 3D, the graphics on the 3DS is pretty impressive. I mean, it's running right up there neck and neck with at least the PSP, and I would say it's even maybe a notch above that.
I'm not actually sure. I've never used a PSP to play, so its graphics might be either really fantastic or only sort of middling. When I actually saw the trailer for Kid Icarus, the graphics sort of looked like a little bit above the old PS1 graphics. They looked a little bit blocky. Now, I don't know if that's a reasonable thing for a handheld to need, for me to expect a higher level of graphic precision, so I might be in the wrong there.
I think at the very least it does show that, you know, finally we have a Nintendo handheld that can handle some 3D games a heck of a lot better than, you know, the current system is doing 3D games.
That's true. Actually, go on.
And I don't mean 3D, like, in the third dimension, you know, I just mean, you know, like,
polygons.
3D polygons. And polygons, right.
Some of the edges seemed a little bit crispy, but I know it's a little bit of DS, too.
I don't know. It's not something that I'm seeing directly in front of me, so something might be lost in the translation between a presentation and YouTube video uploaded by some guy who has who signs all of his comments on his videos with equals P.
So let's talk a little bit about the trailer that they showed. It looked like a pretty interesting combination of gameplay. Yeah. You know, they showed that there's flight levels.
I described it as this mixture of what looked to be Zelda and Star Fox.
Yeah.
Which is not something, not two things I would have ever considered mixing.
But it might be interesting.
Well, I mean, as long as they...
Can you do the barrel roll while holding the hammer? Get rid of all the enemies on your side.
That's like a dive bomb.
Speaking of barrel rolls, can we talk about Halo Reach and its flight levels?
Why not?
I'm not really sure what else to say about it other than it looks like somebody at Bungie was playing through all their old GameCube games, got to Rogue Squadron, and was like, this is awesome! Let's put this in Halo!
Those are some quality games.
I will not disagree. I think that would definitely add some flavor to Halo.
Eh.
I don't really know what else to say about it. There are some levels that you fly around in space. It looked like Rogue Squadron. And those
I'm
were.
I'm gonna go ahead and admit that I did not see the trailer, so
that's fine.
I probably will not comment for this portion.
The only I guess that means I'm the one who watched that trailer.
No,
so
I thought. I watched like a level being played.
Oh, that was kind of cool. Basically, what I gathered from it was, did you like the previous Halos? Yes. Did you happen to like Rogue Squadron as well? Yeah, those games were okay. Then you'll probably be all right with Halo Reach. It's one of those things. There are just some of those games that I can comment on by virtue of just saying their name. There's a Gears of War 3. I think I've commented on that by saying that there's a Gears of War 3.
Now with boobs.
Ah, that's right, there's a girl character.
Now with four-player.
Is that going to be one of the things?
What?
Is there going to be four-player for Gears of War now?
Yeah. Four-player and also four boobs.
Yeah, well, yeah. And I think we all...
3D!
No. I saw some of it, and it was Gears of War 2 with another two people.
Oh, that's not necessarily a bad thing. I said earlier with Zelda that sometimes you want to leave things alone, just give people more of what's already a good thing.
Yeah.
I think a lot of games are forgetting how to do that, especially the Dead Rising people.
I did not take the time to watch the stuff for Dead Rising. How was that?
There are going to be two Dead Risings, Dead Rising 2 and Dead Rising 2 Case Zero, which when I first heard that, I just saw Case Zero, and I'm like, are they making a Phoenix Wright prequel? Are they doing, like, his college days when he's doing mock trial?
I don't understand what it is with all of these marketing people that believe that extreme sports need to be infused into, like, every sequel to make it hip or make it cool. Like, what kind of viewership is the X Games drawing at this point where everything needs to be tied into extreme sports?
Or worse yet, Blitzball.
Oh, no. Squaresoft, what have you done to us? I have... Marybeth can tell you about this. I have entered into a promise where neither one of us ever beat Final Fantasy X. I don't know why she didn't, but I didn't because I don't particularly care for it.
Keep complaining about it.
And I have entered into a promise where she will play Final Fantasy X and I will watch and not complain about anything.
I don't think you can do it.
I think I could do it. I might have to... Well, that depends. Can I not complain at all, or can I just not complain to you?
I don't know. You do love your complaining to me anyway.
Okay, I guess that's fair.
Actually, since we kind of mentioned Squaresoft, can we move on to Parasite Eve?
Oh, the third birthday?
Yeah.
She looks so scared, holding that gun.
I wrote the article about
the... Maybe the gun is a person, too.
I wrote the article about the third birthday just because Squirrel said something on the forums. Oh, but I have to say, the one thing that did catch my eye was the this diving system where you're able to dive and become a different person on the battlefield whenever you want.
Yeah, I've been through that. It's called high school.
I just... Nice. But what I did see was, like, there is a point during some of the gameplay where the person playing is in trouble. They're getting mauled by this something monster. I want to remember it being a crab monster, but I could be wrong. And she dives into the body of a guy on the roof to leave her current body just sort of sitting there in front of the monster. It's like, you bitch!
Actually, speaking about that, did any of you hear about Vanquish?
Yeah, I heard a lot about it. I saw some videos. It looks a step above Heavenly Sword. It's by the same people who made that game, and it looks like, you know, it could be a decent action game. I was impressed with the graphics, but I didn't see a lot more than that.
Yeah, didn't they also have something kind of like the dive system? I can't remember.
I missed this entirely, so...
I just know that the main character's name is Monkey. That's all I know.
Oh, yeah.
Well, that's enough of a reason for me to play it. That's sort of amusing.
His name is Monkey, he's a scientist, and he has a special suit that lets him slow down time and do all these crazy acrobatics.
Huh. That sounds like a mix of game elements that have been used before, but you can use old game elements to great effect if you do it right.
Yeah. But I remember hearing something about being able to take over enemies. I may be thinking of a different game.
I don't know. But speaking of slowing down time, there's going to be a Fear 3.
Oh, yeah, that.
I did not actually watch the trailer for Fear 3 because I remembered the end to Fear 2, and I wasn't sure I wanted to go through that memory again.
Someone tells me Fear 3 is going to be a retexture of Fear 2, or Fear Percy's Mandate.
Well, that was always sort of Fear's thing. It's... With first-person shooters, it's very common that it's not easy to come up with new stuff for sequels, so it's pretty much just the same game with a new level pack.
And with not even a number after it.
Speaking of first-person shooters with numbers at the end of it, while I'm doing segues like crazy, I was playing Half-Life 2 Episode 1 earlier, and I managed to glitch the game.
How'd you do it?
You know how near the beginning when you're getting onto that train after destroying that giant core thing?
Yeah.
Yeah, there's an animation What's-Her-Face does, and I got in her way while she was doing it, so she couldn't complete it, so none of it would progress. I was just stuck on that train.
Oops. That's kind of a severe problem, Valve. You should make sure and don't put that into Portal 2. Oh my, I seem to have transitioned into Portal 2.
Well, that's why I mentioned Half-Life 2.
Yep. Portal 2 looks, like I said, first-person shooter sequels have a tendency to just be the game from before with different level settings, but it looks like Valve went all out and made a whole mess of new level stuff.
Oh yeah, I thought the boldest choice they made was in throwing all of those... organic elements into it. It kind of looked like there was a forest stage and stuff like that, and it was so far against the tone of the original one, you know, that was just so, you know, sterile and mechanical and stuff like that. So it looks like a huge change in setting, at least, and, you know, we know that Gladys is still in it. She's still largely the same, and that was probably everyone's favorite element of the first game, so...
That's very true. And I think that as the Aperture Science building is in the condition that it is, I think that'll open up whole new doors for Gladys's sociopathic tendencies. Like, you know, you see that the building is pretty much in ruins, and... you know, Gladys is trying to rebuild it. I could see you running through a room, only for Gladys to decide that that room would look better without a floor.
Yeah, I also know that there. I saw a couple of the puzzles, and there was one where you make a portal in front of like a black hole thing, and then you do it, and then you put the other side of the portal on a wall, and it destroys the wall on the other side of the room.
Cool.
There was also another puzzle where, like, you had to chase the block, and it was just hopping across these crazy platforms, and you had to get to it and follow it so it wouldn't go away, because there were times where it would go into a wall, but you had to have the portal set up just so that you would get it to land on the switch. They looked crazy.
Well, that's good Portal stuff. As long as they don't make you do any of those ridiculous chain jumps like there was in that one room in the first game, I think I'll...
Well, you had to, like, build up momentum by going through a ton of different holes?
Yeah, it was like, basically there was a... It was, I think, the second-to-last room before you start going behind the walls, and there is a series of platforms that you can't actually make the jump of, and there's a big pit that you can shoot a portal into, and you have to... jump into the portal to build up momentum to get high enough to shoot a portal onto the next platform in front of you and do that like four times in a chain. that room was so aggravating because you kept flipping upside down due to the perspective change. Drove me insane. I really don't want them to do that again. And if they don't, I think I'll be alright.
So what topic are we on at this point? Are we on,
yeah, I don't really know how to transition away from... I guess what I just said had to do with jumping, so we can talk about Little Big Planet 2.
Okay, are we... So we're talking about Ubisoft then, or something? Wait,
no, Ubisoft is Sony's big thing.
Okay.
I don't really know what else to say about Ubisoft unless you guys want to talk about energy.
Well, we only saw two things about that, and that was the survey... And then there was a breathing thing.
Yeah, I'm not, Ubisoft is going a little bit for the weird this year, apparently.
New Rayman game.
Which I'm reasonably interested in that. I don't know, what they're really going to do. Rayman is not a series I am totally familiar with, but I remember them being old, some platformers, and those are always cool. And we've owned Raving Rabbids at some point, so I know that, well, that was Mario Party with Rayman, so...
And Plungers.
And Plungers. But I think one of the big things that was shown was Little Big Planet 2, the so-called platform for games.
Yeah. How are you going to be able to make every kind of genre on that system?
When I first saw...
as far as I'm concerned, I'm just going to make Gradius.
When I saw the...
My strategy is to play the games.
Yes. Other people can make those games. If I want to... There are plenty of game-making engines out there already. I don't know if I want Sony dipping their hat into it. But to be fair, I did... I watched the trailer, and then I watched the press conference on it, and the guy's like, you could make a whole RTS. And I'm like, you can't make an RTS out of this. And then they actually showed a demo of a Sackboy-based... real-time strategy game.
Muffed out.
I was impressed.
Plus one to attack.
Yeah. Well, I assume that it will be mostly Korean people playing it, building up maps that you can make thousands of Sackboys on to rush at the other person while someone yells at them about pylons.
And then a detective is going to bust in and, crud. A detective is going to bust in. Stop.
Maybe it's just me, but it seems like I had trouble making levels in the first Little Big Planet. Because it took forever. They had to worry about what fell on top of what.
That's true.
I heard that it's no longer as... You know, when you're making games, you don't have to worry about the gravity element so much. They said that in some of the interviews. Like, you don't have to worry about things, you know, falling down or, you know, losing control of whatever. It's a lot easier to manipulate objects, I think, in the level editor this time around.
That's good, because the level designer aspect of Little Big Planet, which admittedly I only used about two times in the brief time I had with the game, it wasn't as user-friendly as it could be. It was really like, would you like to put this object here? Oh, I would like to put this object here. Now start the level, and that object just falls out of the sky.
The one
thing that did get me, though, about that, though, was the fact that they said there's the previous Little Big Planet had wrought 2 million user-made levels. I am almost certain that there are far more than 2 million levels made.
Well, it's been over.
Fair. It's just
maybe they omitted the word good.
That's true.
I doubt it.
I could, because it's just one of those things, regardless of relative quality, people really do like level editors. They are very willing to take the time and make some nonsense to put up on the internet, not unlike what we're doing now. But I could also see a whole bunch of Little Big Planet levels that were like, Jason's penis is this big, and it's just like a line that you run towards the end of.
Be like Centipede.
Yeah, exactly.
It actually never ends. It's like the stairway corridor in Super Mario 64.
That is a very obscure penis joke to make. If you're trying to impress your lady friend, hey baby, my penis is as big as the giant level snake on Mario 64.
Yes.
Holler!
I don't know if that line will work on anyone outside of maybe an anime convention, but would you really want it to work at an anime convention? That is a horror story from me for another time. Yeah.
The final thoughts about Little Big Planet. It includes two things that really make the world a better place: Sackboy and people who are smarter than me.
Well, I'm interested in what will come of it. I imagine that it will be one of two things. Either either the new level things that you can make will result in people being able more distracted from just putting random nonsense up on a wall, or it'll just be more encouragement, where rather than, you know, drawing penises in blocks that don't do anything, you can now draw penises in space invader enemies and have people shoot at it. Which is a weird Freudian thing, but beyond the point.
To be fair, technically you could do that back in the days of Game Boy Camera. It's like, you know, you have this, like, all the bosses are pictures that you've taken.
Oh my
and
god.
And then there's a Space Invader game.
Oh no.
That's nothing new.
That is a horrifying thought. Hey, would you like to play this game I made with Game Boy Camera? The original ROM hack.
Oh god. If there were any doubloons left in the coffers, the lawsuits are going to wipe them all out.
Oh yes. But Nintendo was not the only company jumping at the bit to get 3D technology out there. Killzone 3D, as it were.
Gears of War 3D.
Mm-hmm. I saw the Killzone trailer and press conference. The effect is lost on me since I was not wearing 3D glasses. It really just looked like Killzone.
And they might as well have called this the worthless to watch at home convention.
For a lot of stuff, that is definitely the case. It's kind of unfortunate. But I can't really say anything about Killzone 3D. It looked like Killzone. Maybe in 3D there's some magical quality of it that makes it look different, but I wouldn't know.
It will grant you a wish.
That would,
but only a really simple one. Like, geez, I wish there was another hour in the day in daylight savings time, something like that.
Yeah. That work is just done for me. I don't even have to grant that wish, and that's how I did it.
That's why it's easy.
Exactly. So, we've been doing this for almost an hour. I think it's a good time for us to go ahead and wrap up by talking about Project Kinect, unless anybody has any other game they'd like to bring up.
Epic Mickey looked pretty sweet. I think it was kind of like the surprise hit of the show.
Yeah, what is it with Disney and making all these dark Mickey games? I mean, first Kingdom Hearts.
And then Kingdom Hearts again.
I don't know.
It's to appeal to the Hot Topic crowd, people, let's be honest. You know, they got to sell them epic goth Mickey t-shirts, and I think it's no more complicated than that. But the story is actually, the story behind it is actually pretty interesting.
Mm-hmm.
It's based on this one forgotten creation of Walt Disney, and this is like a true story. What happened was, Walt Disney, he had this cartoon that he created for Universal called Oswald the Lucky Rabbit. And he had been doing a lot of cartoons and stuff, and he had it, you know, all prepared to take with him, you know, and his new business venture. But, you know, when he broke off from Universal, they kept the rights to Oswald. So, you know, he was on the train to the business meeting, and this was the ultimate, you know, last-minute bullshit job. He just erased the ears on Oswald and made him a mouse named Mickey. And that's how Mickey Mouse was actually created, on a train trip, as like the last-minute substitution for an existing character. It's hilarious how much of a hack job Mickey is. And the game acknowledges this, because the game is about Oswald the Rabbit coming back, mad as hell that Mickey took his job and his place as the beloved icon of millions, and him extracting some of his revenge. And of course they use, like, metaphors to tell this story, like, you know, Walt Disney is this wizard, and Oswald and Mickey are his creations, and so forth, but I think it was pretty interesting. Oh, and another interesting side note. Oswald the Rabbit was only, given back to Disney after they had brokered a deal with Universal. You see, there was this one sportscaster, Al Michaels, and he wanted to join John Madden at NBC. So they traded Al Michaels for Oswald the Lucky Rabbit. They traded this flesh-and-blood human being for a cartoon character. I mean, how awesome is that?
That is a pretty good story. And not
the draft?
This is not the Disney draft. This is Disney fantasy football.
And until now, they never really did anything with this character. It's more like, well, you know, it was the principle of the thing. You know, they had to get him back. But I'm pleased to see that they, you know, that there was a reason why Al Michaels is now at NBC. And we can see it here now.
Yeah, that sounds like I only saw so much material for Epic Mickey, although I've heard about it for a while. It looked to be an interesting project, although I didn't know a lot about it. It seems like it's going the route of it's really taking liberties with the you're in a cartoon world by allowing Mickey to create and destroy objects in the environment.
Yeah, you know, the freaky thing that just struck me is that Mickey has the power to use, like, turpentine to erase cartoons. So, like, he's pretty much, you know, that villain from Who Framed Roger Rabbit. What was it, Judge Doom, or what was his
name?
Yeah,
it was Judge Doom, something to that effect.
And they never found out who Judge Doom was. You never saw him under the mask. It could have been Mickey the whole time. Of course, he would have had to have been in two places at once, but I mean,
well, maybe that
he could have had an accomplice.
Well, that's how good his cover was. We need to get Phoenix Wright in on this, and thus we are brought back to the beginning.
We doctored the photo.
Yeah, this entire time I've been looking for a segue into Mother because I was playing that right before now, and I've yet to find it.
Now that we can use the explicit words, you can just call me a mother, you know, effer, and we can segue from there.
Yes. I don't know. I think what it benefits from, or it will either benefit from this or will be its downfall, is the split gameplay elements. The fact that there are action segments and platformer segments. Mixing up gameplay is usually a good idea because if you do the same thing for too long, it gets boring. But I don't know if the 3D action segments are going to mesh too well with 2D side-scrolling platformers.
Well, the way they have it set up is that the 2D platformers is, you know, it happens on Mickey's journey in between levels. It's kind of like, you know, instead of going on a map and clicking on a pellet of another level and just seeing Mickey, you know, wander over there until you get to the next level, you get to, you know, play this side-scroller where, you know, he's going through all of these side-scrolling adventures to get to the next destination. And that's primarily how it's going to be used, like in between the huge story elements and the 3D stages.
Which <Gummy ship. clears throat>
Yes, exactly.
Gummy ship, but possibly fun. Not like, well, I don't know. That depends on... those were okay in Kingdom Hearts 2, because it was, you know, you've been playing through this... We're going to say it's a good story, but to be fair, Kingdom Hearts has sort of a mediocre story at best. You've been playing through all that. Would you also like to play some Star Fox and take a break? And I'm like, yes.
Woo! Yes, I would!
Can you just put the game down and actually play Star Fox?
come back, man.
There's a ROM and an emulator on the Kingdom Hearts 2 disc that just fires up, and you play through Star Fox for the Super NES. Yes.
Burr, drummer.
until it gets to the end of the game where you actually have the voice that was the same voice used for Guile in Street Fighter 2.
You win. like
this is
cheer.
Pepper speaking. This is congratulations on a job well done.
Sonic boom. What was that, Sergeant Pepper? Nothing. Avert your ears.
I have a Lonely Hearts Club band, Star Fox. Would you like to join it? We could use a piccolo player.
It's like how the not guilty cheering from Phoenix Wright sounds suspiciously like the you win cheering from Street Fighter. Just Capcom reusing the same cheer sound effects.
Well, if Phoenix Wright, if the Ace Attorney series is anything, it is definitely a venue for Capcom to do references to stuff.
Well, we've already found out that Leon is Phoenix Wright.
Yes. What was that? we have. What was that? I don't even remember the string of logic, but we ended up being able to.
You were examining like a desk, and Leon said, "No clues here."
I don't remember how that connects to Leon, though. All I remember is that we somehow made this string of logic that connects Phoenix Wright to Resident Evil, and Resident Evil is connectable to both Metal Gear Solid and 24.
And Devil May Cry.
And
oh, come on. 24 is connected to everything. It is the Alpha and the Omega. It is the Uber Hub.
Yeah, that's true.
It's all thanks to Tony.
Oh, yeah, it's also connectable to Dead to Wright.
And Dead to Rights. I still have not played Dead to Rights Retribution. It just looked like Dead to Rights Gears of War. But that's okay. That's not necessarily a bad thing. I'm trying to think. I'm racking my brain for other games.
Are you looking for a segue to Kinect?
Topics? Yes, let's go ahead and talk about Kinect. Kinect is the Sony iToy that was modded by Microsoft.
Let's just look at the name, too. I mean, I thought that the Wii was an unfortunate name because, you know, male genitalia. But isn't Kinect, like, street slang for your drug dealer?
That very well may be the case. And I would, that might be one of those unintentional hilarity moments where everybody at the Project Natal conference table was like, what can we call it? We're going to connect people to video games. Oh, that's great. But we can't copyright just the word connect. That's too generic. Well, let's spell it differently. What do the kids use these days on the intertubes? Well, they spell things weirdly, so maybe with a K and an I. We'll call it Kinect. And there's
first of all, I'd like to thank my Kinect, the most important person with all due respect. I forget how the rest of that song goes.
I do not recall.
Where are my Kinects? That's what this is.
It is a Microsoft heard that somebody had gotten the rights to Lego Harry Potter, and they were jealous, and they were like, "We got to compete with this. This will be the hottest selling game of the year whenever it comes out."
Let's look at some of the games that they debuted for it too. I wanted to bring this up during the Nintendogs talk, but they revealed a similar program that allows your own child at home to interact with the world's most deadliest predators in fuzzy-wuzzy mode. Like, it essentially teaches your kid, you know, that they should go out and play with dangerous animals. And I don't know how I feel about the message of this game.
That could admittedly be a problem. You've conditioned your child. You can never take them to the zoo again because they're going to see, oh, a tiger. Tigers are known to be cuddly and loving to human beings who approach them randomly. I think I should do that right now.
Well, maybe this is part of the zero population movement.
Wow. What I will say for the Kinect of what I saw of the second press conference that was just Kinect as presented by Cirque du Soleil, of all people, it does look responsive. It does look like it does a pretty good job of tracking your movements and mirroring what you do with the character on screen.
But you know what wasn't? Star Wars.
Yeah, the Star Wars one that was apparently just a video matched up to a choreography performance by the person demoing it.
Even that was pretty telling about a number of things. You know, the hugest weakness I could see with any gameplay related to the Kinect is just moving your character around the screen. When you watch the demo of the Star Wars sword fighting, the character's essentially staying in the same place the whole time. And after you take down a wave of stormtroopers, your character just, like, automatically dashes forward a little bit to fight the next wave. You don't see how he's getting there. It doesn't really seem like you can navigate very well using this thing.
Yeah, well, I mean, that's sort of a problem that they'll have to work out, because it is a double-edged sword, in that either you're going to have combat-based games where the character doesn't have to do a whole lot of traveling towards groups of enemies, or you're going to have it where the player is jogging in place like they're playing world-class track meet. Which is sort of the breaking point, because either you're going to lose that immersion or you're going to get on the nerves of people who don't want to jog. Which,
yeah,
as a gamer, I can say is probably about most of us.
And the weird thing is, though, you know, this is supposed to be the system for the lazy man. You know, it's the lazy man's game system. If he wants to watch a movie, he can just lay down on his couch and then yell at the TV to change the channel and wave his arms around, and it will change the channel. It seems to me like you just can't beat the laziness of a good old-fashioned remote. You're moving a piece of plastic like a quarter of an inch.
With one finger.
It is so hard to get lazier than that. And believe me, people, we are America, you know? We practically own the market on laziness. If there was a way to get any lazier than a remote, believe me, we would have invented it at this point. And by the way, we already have the technology for the television to change channels if you yell and wave your arms around a lot. It's called children. If you have a child in the room, just flip out and yell, and he will change the channel for you. They're very easy to make. You know, they might not be so easy to maintain, but, you know, I'm just saying.
It is.
There's more than one parent.
The backfire of that technology, though, is that they'll automatically change it to the cartoon channel.
That's true, but that's only if you don't. You have to regiment them. You have to teach them which channels are the right channels to change it to. You know,
right. That the system of electrical shocks will probably condition them, much like the experiments they ran in that place.
Chinese power torture.
The Skinner box. Yes.
That's what I meant.
Yes.
Thank you for being smarter than me.
Believe me, he's not.
Thanks. I'll make sure and keep that in mind when I'm reviewing an article you want to write. But that was the one thing that did get me about the Kinect, is that, like we said, the video of the Star Wars based demo was just a video synced up to the guy doing the motions, and you could kind of tell because at alternating points the character on screen would be ahead of the guy supposedly doing the controlling or vice versa. The one thing that I did notice about it is that, obviously, there isn't really going to be any physical feedback. So, if you happen to be playing some sort of sword fighting game and you cross blades with another character, there's not really anything in the physical world stopping you from just swinging on through and causing some sort of weird control issues.
Well, for a two-player comes in.
Yeah, but if you're...
I'm waiting on the Kinect fighting game, because it's really just a sparring game. You don't even need the Kinect.
You don't even... They don't even sell you the Kinect. They just sell you some, head guard and some boxing gloves.
Yeah, don't talk about Kinect Club. That's the first rule.
No. They give you the thing you wear on your head, the boxing gloves, and a, video of Tybo.
Wow. But that is my only real concern about the Kinect, and admittedly it's kind of a big concern, is that without physical feedback there are going to be some things that don't feel quite right. Like,
that's very true, yeah.
Yeah, like if you happen to, I did see a commercial for the Kinect, probably like a banner ad on YouTube of this kid playing a fighting game, and he kicks a guy in the face, and it swings through, but what if that dude had blocked? That kid's kick would not have stopped in real life. So,
well, I think in real life that kid would have gotten his ass kicked anyway.
Fair
so
enough.
There's probably a lot of deviations from
Well, you don't know. The Kinect may know the force.
That's true.
That's what it is. Actually, every Kinect, it's the camera that they put at the top is just a piece of plastic that actually comes with your own Obi-Wan Kenobi. Unless you buy the cheapo model, in which case it comes with Darth Vader.
I think for all of us trashing the Kinect hardware, I think we need to save some of our trashing for the actual Microsoft presentation, because even if the technology was crappy as all hell, there are several better ways of selling it than just getting a couple people up and doing a few, you know, sports exercise games clearly ripped off of the Wii. You know, because, like, none of these are games that people are really going to go out there and buy. It's nothing that's going to get people excited, because, A, we've seen it done before, and, you know, B, who wants to exercise? I mean, if you want to sell a game where you just run in place, what you do is you get Sega on the phone and you have them develop, you know, a quick demo for a Sonic the Hedgehog game where you just run in place like an idiot. But it's Sonic doing it.
Yes.
People love Sonic, so they want to get the game. That's how you get people excited. You know, use characters and concepts that gamers understand.
And
we don't understand exercise. We don't give a crap.
Just as a quick moment, Sonic the Hedgehog 4.
Oh, yeah, Sonic Colors, I think it was called.
I don't remember. I just know that it's going to be DLC.
It's going to be another Sonic game. It may or may not contain Werehog missions.
Oh, yeah, those are two separate games, though, Sonic 4 and Sonic Colors. The Sonic 4 is downloadable chapters, and, you know, it's old-school Sonic 2D action game. And the Sonic Colors is the 3D... looks like they're going in a direction similar to Mario Galaxy kind of thing.
Okay, so basically there's Sonic 4, which we should pay attention to, and Sonic Colors, which will be Sega yet again being a couple steps behind Nintendo as they try to innovate.
I think Sonic Colors should be presented in black and white.
Oh, Sega, you forgot about the colorblind. That's more doubloons! More doubloons being lost.
They have.
Hedgehogs are in color.
They have. They present Sonic Colors in black and white, and then that's when you find out that the secret project Hideo Kojima has been working on has been Sonic the Hedgehog.
You see him in a cardboard box, but his needles are sticking out. He's so easy to see.
I don't remember this having anything to do with E3, but a while back when I saw some promotional material for Peace Walker, I did see that cardboard boxes will no longer just be boxes. They will also be cardboard tanks.
Did Snake learn origami? Why are there cardboard tanks?
I don't know, but you can have... I saw some squad-based tactics going on where people were infiltrating a building in a row of boxes, at least one of which was a tank.
I think it would be awesome if, you know, one day Snake is trying to hide in a cardboard box, and he finds that Nermal's inside. Nermal. Garfield's adorable neighborhood cat that he's always mailing to Abu Dhabi.
Yeah.
And then he realizes he's in Abu Dhabi.
Remember Abu Dhabi? Those are some tough times. War has changed. Now I just find kittens everywhere. And I don't even... Can cuteness bloom on the battlefield? That would be the worst time for Solid Snake, though, if he kept finding kittens in the box, because Otacon would just want to keep them.
I'll just what if make a backup copy of this one.
Oh, I could see that. They have their I don't even remember what it was that Snake and Otacon were traveling around in Metal Gear Solid 4, but there's just this one room that you never go into. You occasionally hear a meow from it, but then Otacon hits the door and it stops. It's nothing.
Actually, I think what that is, you remember that really old thread? It was like a cat reenacting a music video or something like that?
Maybe.
I remember that being in Catterday, and I think that's where they're shooting it.
In Otacon and Snake's house? Okay, fair enough.
Otacon runs the Make-A-Wish Foundation.
That sounds like him, except the only wishes that he'll fulfill is, my girlfriend and I met on, because she was a mercenary and I was a geeky computer person, and Otacon's reading the email he's gotten, a single tear rolls down his face, I'm with you.
Penthouse letters, I never thought this would happen to me, but dot dot dot.
Dear Duck Dodgers. That has nothing to do with E3, but if you ever, I don't know if you've ever watched an abridged anime series, but if there is one abridged series worth watching, it is definitely JoJo's Bizarre Adventure, the abridged series.
I love that, with all of the rock and roll references. Mm. REO, Speedwagon, and Dio. Oh, Dio, God rest your soul. You are not an immortal vampire after all.
It's funny because they're bitches in the way they didn't move.
Yes. Well, I think we've talked about Kinect. Despite my qualms about it, I think that it has some potential, along with the PlayStation Wii. I mean, Move.
I think like one of the more subtle bombshells that was dropped was when they revealed that, you know, there are old Nintendo Wii games that are being converted to PlayStation Move, such as Dead Space Extraction. And that was a Wii game, right?
Maybe.
Just the fact that the possibility that, you know, the catalog of older Wii games might open up for the PS3. I find that pretty awesome in itself.
I think that could be something worthwhile, especially because we have seen that the PS3 has a higher processing power than the Wii does, so maybe with a better processor, maybe some really excellent cool motion sensor games can come out. I admit, I have to give it to Sony for all the balls they have to basically come out and say, yeah, we took the Wii technology and we put it on our system. It's not any different except that we put light bulbs at the end of the remote control.
And made them black.
That's WiiWare in reverse.
Where we? It's a where we! You can only kill it with a silver input controller!
Oh no. But yeah, I think that it has potential, just like I think that the Wii has potential that it has yet to have realized over its many years run. So, you know, it's E3. None of this technology is in our hands, so I can only say so much about how it looks. I'm looking forward to Metroid the Other M, and I'm looking forward to I'm interested enough in Zelda that I still want to... I'm going to check it out, even if the controls end up being kind of crappy.
So do we want to just list our games of the show?
Let's just see anything that you saw that you are looking forward to in any capacity. For me, it's been Other M for a while.
I would say that the game that probably impressed me the most, and also because it just came out of nowhere, is Kid Icarus. I mean, I can't wait to, sell a lot of stuff so I can get a Nintendo 3DS and play that game.
Yeah.
I'm kind of curious to see how Little Big Planet 2 is going to turn out, especially with all the new game design elements of it.
Portal 2.
Well, I think we...
Can I change my answer?
No! You stole that. You cheated off of my test. But yeah, I don't think that there's anybody out there who is like, Portal 2, give me... Valve, just come to my house and take a big steaming dump on my lawn, Portal 2. I have to say, I am not too familiar with people in the games industry, as I am not familiar with a lot of stuff, but Gabe Newell's candor, when he came out, he was a surprisingly pleasant person to listen to and watch.
And Kevin Butler, hey, gotta give mega props to Kevin Butler, the new face of gaming. Especially that speech he gave, you know, about, you know, we're all gamers, the hardcore gamers, the motion control gamers. And I think it really struck a chord because in that moment he probably, well, I mean, he's a publicity person, so he's always trying to sell us something. But in that moment, it did not appear as if he were trying to sell us something.
He seemed almost human, which puts him in distinct contrast to, I don't remember the guy's name, the guy who's the apparent spokesperson for Ubisoft now.
Joel McHale?
Yeah, Joel McHale.
Oh, God, the unfunny comedian.
It was... Well, I wouldn't say unfunny. I just wouldn't say funny in the right way. Because his attempts to seem human were laughable in their...
The manufactured, yeah.
I know. It is almost as though he walked on stage after somebody had done up the panel on his back to make sure that he said all of the right stuff. What we didn't see was somebody was smart enough to cut his mic right before his... programming to say Gabe Newell is the devil kicked in. And then they just went on to play Energy, which Energy does not look like a game, but I don't know. It looks like a heart monitor.
Is it an energy drink?
Ideally. Maybe that's one of the peripheral devices. You plug it into your computer with a USB attachment and it
Game Fuel's got some competition. It's a two-horse race.
Oh, no. Where will silencers come from? I think we can close this out. We've been talking for about an hour and a half on E3. So, with that, everybody send me your audio, and if the Pamela recording didn't work out, I'll sync that all up, and I'll probably have it uploaded early in the week.
Okay. Should I stop this?
Yeah.
Should I stop it?
Yeah, we need a marker point so that I know where to sync all of this up, just to make sure we're all on. But, so everybody, whistle.
Alright, I don't know how to do that.
Okay. I think that'll do it. Okay, you have to start recording before we start talking.
That way we can have a fade in.
Yeah.
Like maybe this podcast.
This is organization at its peak.
Podcast will be like jazz. It's all in what we don't say.
That's right. Which one of us is the bass? That person doesn't actually have to talk that much.
Yeah, I call it.
I'll do the stand-up bass. I'll have a solo at the end where I play all 14 of my notes.
Exactly. That's how this podcast is done. Well, that's okay. Having screwing around before we actually start recording is prime material for stingers.